You're listening to SBS News.
An historic moment in the journey towards reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians.
We apologise for the laws and policies of successive parliaments and governments that have inflicted profound grief, suffering and loss on these our fellow Australians. We apologise especially for the removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families, their communities and their country.
On the 13th of February 2008, then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd stood in Parliament and apologised to the Stolen Generations, First Nations people who were forcibly removed from their families under the policy of successive governments between 1910 and 1970. A 1995 national inquiry found the policies had the ultimate purpose to control the reproduction of Indigenous people with a view to merging or absorbing them into the non-Indigenous population. The removal often happened in the absence of the parent, and in a number of cases by taking the child from the mother's arms.
For the pain, suffering and hurt of these stolen generations, their descendants and for their families left behind, we say sorry. To the mothers and the fathers, the brothers and the sisters, for the breaking up of families and communities, we say sorry. And for the indignity and degradation thus inflicted on a proud people and a proud culture, we say sorry.
Listening attentively was Ian Hamm, a Yorta Yorta man who was separated from his mother when he was just 3 weeks old.
I wasn't openly bawling, but I just noticed I had tears running down my face. And then at the end, when he said, "Mr. Speaker, I commend the motion to the House," I just wept. I just started weeping. I don't get teary now just even thinking about it. That for me was a breakthrough moment. It was my country acknowledges me for who I am. My country accepts what happened to me, to all of us. We don't have to argue anymore that we exist. That was a breakthrough moment. So the apology was really important.
The apology was one of 54 recommendations of a landmark Bringing Them Home report tabled in the federal parliament 11 years earlier. The report was the result of the 1995 National Inquiry, conducted by the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission that ran for 2 years and included 535 testimonies from Indigenous Australians who were removed and became known as the Stolen Generations. One of those testimonies came from Mr. Hamm, who was only able to piece together what happened at the age of 19 when he was put in touch with the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency.
When you're an adopted kid and an adopted Aboriginal kid too, you know, it's kind of like you've just popped out of nowhere. You've just blinked into existence because you have no backstory, you have no background, you have nothing. To find your story, to find your connection, that was an incredibly important moment in my life. What I found was that I had two brothers and two sisters in addition to my adopted brothers and sisters. It was over half an hour, if not 40 minutes into the conversation. She hadn't mentioned it and I hadn't asked, but eventually I did ask. I said, "What about my mother and what about my father?" And she deliberately not asked, told me until I was ready to ask, which was a really smart thing. So Elaine looked at me and she said, "Your mother died in 1966 and she never told anybody who your father was. I can never meet these people. One is unknown and the other one died." And she would have died when I was 2 years old in 1966. That hole of not knowing my mother is still with me today.
The experience drove Mr. Hamm to work to help other Stolen Generation survivors through support groups, including in his current role as chair of the Healing Foundation's Stolen Generations Reference Group. One of his chief goals has been ensuring another key recommendation of the Bringing Them Home report is implemented. The recommendation of reparations includes measures of restitution and monetary compensation to help survivors and descendants deal with the intergenerational trauma.
I think there's a real opportunity for Queensland and Western Australia to come to the high water mark that Victoria set, or maybe even go beyond it. But they need to do it quickly. They need to do it now. Stolen Generations people, we're getting older, you know. I was born in 1964, so I guess I'm at the younger end of those of the Stolen Generations. I turned 58 in a month, so there's no time to waste.
A 2018 report found poorer life outcomes among those Indigenous Australians who were removed compared to those who were not. Those who were removed were seven times as likely to have experienced discrimination. They were also seven times as likely to have heart, stroke or vascular disease. And compared to the non-Indigenous population, they were five times as likely to have government payments as their main source of income. The chairperson of the West Australian Stolen Generations Aboriginal Corporation, Nyungaman Jim Morrison, shares his story as a Stolen Generations descendant in his visits to schools.
Well, I've been telling people in a schoolroom situation that I had 30 parents that were removed. Dad was the oldest of 23, Mum was one of seven, all removed and put into these awful missions. So I can appreciate now the impacts that has made on future generations.
He says too many members of the Stolen Generations have passed away with no access to reparations in the state.
The loss and grief is constant. It's around the trauma of being removed, but also around the trauma of losing so many family members. So many funerals are happening this year, for example, of people have impacted on by what has happened to their old people. And now, dare I say, if we talk about the lack of aged care services, there's 7,800 Aboriginal people over 50 in Greater Perth, and only nine of them get a service from an Aboriginal community-controlled organisation. So where are they going then for their in-home service or residential service?
The proportion of Western Australia's Indigenous adult population who are Stolen Generations descendants is higher than the national figure, as high as 46% compared to 33% nationally. In 2018, the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare estimated there were 33,600 members of the Stolen Generations who are still alive. 81% of them are aged 50 years and over and are needing aged care support. The number of Stolen Generations descendants is more than 142,000 nationally, with the number continuing to rise. The national body representing Indigenous children in Australia says the ongoing impacts of the Stolen Generations continues today, with an increasing number of First Nations children removed from families and placed in out-of-home care. The proportion of Indigenous children in Australia who are in out-of-home care is 11 times greater than the rate for their non-Indigenous counterparts. Arente Luritjar woman Catherine Little is the CEO of the Secretariat of the National Aboriginal and Islander Childcare, also known as SNAKE. She says the problem is of such a scale that the group is calling for a dedicated commissioner for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children.
We've got more than 21,000 children in out-of-home care services at this moment in time, and a significant number of those children will not be reunited with their families, and we know that that number will continue to escalate. You'll hear in some states and territories where people are saying that there's seven generations removal in a particular family. This is really, it is unfathomable to think about that.
Lowitja Institute Chair Gungari Man Selwyn Button says the Close the Gap indicators charting the poorer life outcomes between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians is improving, but at a very slow rate, and that needs to change.
The things that lead to the significant intergenerational trauma, and if we're not addressing them now, knowing what we know now better than we did 25 years ago, we certainly can do better to build on those original foundations and learn from the mistakes of the past to work out where we go from here. We don't want to be in a place where we're talking about a second wave of a stolen generation. And we hear it often where many families and communities talk about child removal as a second wave of a stolen generation. They're the things we want to prevent.
The new Anthony Albanese government says it's committed in the next 3 years to holding a referendum to change the constitution and establish an Indigenous voice to Parliament, most likely in mid-2024. That's one of the measures contained in the Uluru Statement from the Heart by Indigenous leaders, which also calls for a process of including more Indigenous perspectives in Australia's history, truth-telling, and ending Australia's status as the only Commonwealth country without a treaty with its Aboriginal population. Jim Morrison says the grieving still continues, and there's a desperate need to accelerate the reconciliation efforts between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians.
The focus on the Bring Them Home report, the recommendations of 54 of them, focus on truth, justice and healing. So truth has to be told in the schools. Our education need to be improved so school kids understand removal. It's not ancient history, it's current history. They need to understand the justice that needs to come from that, which is reparation or compensation or redress. And then they need to look at what healing is for stolen generation people and the broader community, because the whole colonisation has impacted on all of our Aboriginal people. So truth, justice and healing is important. You can't have healing if you don't have the truth or justice. And, you know, we can't have reconciliation unless we have truth, justice and healing.
First Nations listeners seeking support can contact 24/7 National Crisis Support Hotline 13YARN on 139276. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.